Welcome to Classical Conversations. I'm your host, Brad Cresswell. I'm joined by our morning host, Mary Claire Murphy. Say hi, Mary.
So glad to be here.
So glad to have you. And we have two special guests for us. They are Rob Desmond. Hello, Rob.
Hi, how's it going?
You are the percussion guru for Toledo School of the Arts.
Sure, yeah,
guru. Yeah, and we have another percussion slash fundraiser here from TSA, from the Toledo School of the Arts, Dave Gierke. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, good morning.
Well, it's good to have you both here to talk about steel pan virtuoso Liam Teague, who will be a guest artist at Toledo School for the Arts for an upcoming concert on November 5th. But before we get to that, could you, Rob and Dave, could you set the stage for us as to how the steel drum band first began at Toledo School for the Arts?
So, an interesting story about Gierke and I. I've known Gierke since I was a teenager. Gierke was me when TSA started. He was the director of percussion. He's what got it off the ground. There would be no percussion at the Toledo School for the Arts without him. And it was also his idea to start a steel band. So in 2007, he said, let's send two people, Jay Wellens and myself, to Morgantown, which for whatever reason is this mecca of steel band in the region. Like Morgantown, West Virginia is where people go to learn pan because Ellie Minette was there. So he sent us down there for a workshop. We learned how to play pan in a week, which is ridiculous. It was a lot of memorizing and figuring things out. And then we came back and within weeks started a steel band.
But before that, when I was the percussion instructor, I kept trying to convince the board of directors to help us start a steel drum band, and we were just in our infancy stages. The school had only been a couple of years old, and we were still trying to keep the lights on, so they kept kind of pushing it back, like, no, it's not time, we really can't afford that. And so then I get the job as director of development, and which is quite weird because I can't even spell philanthropy. I can now. But I get the job as director of development, and in the first year we were about 2 months away from the season ending, and we had met all of our financial goals. And a friend of mine, Mike Calabrese, who was on the board at the time, said, "Well, you've reached all your goals. What do you want to do now?" And he was totally setting me up for a slam dunk. And I said, "Can I please start a steel drum band?" Mm. And I wasn't even teaching at that point. I was already,
fundraising.
I had already sold out to the life of administration. So he's like, "Yeah, go ahead and do that." And so I gathered about 30 of our biggest donors, had a little party, and brought a band in from Akron to play the party. And I said, we really want to do this. And so we promised the donors if they would each invest $1,000 in this, we would never come back to them for money to support the program. It would be self-sustaining, and it would provide summer jobs for kids. And they're like, no, that's not, you're not going to be able to do all of that. And I said, we will. And the business model has been put on trial, and I think we could keep this group busy.
This came in like a flurry. We were, I was finishing up my first year of full-time teaching at TSA, and then Gierke puts this thing in front of me saying, "Hey, you're going to Morgantown. It's going to be a week. We've already booked your trip. You've got a hotel." I'm like, I just finished my first year of full-time teaching, and I just wanted to rest, and I was not entirely into it. Gierke told me it was going to be great, so I went down there and did it, but I was definitely tentative. I was not looking to eat up my whole summer learning how to play an instrument I'd never played before, because it is, the learning curve on steel pan is tough. It's hard right at first. It's very frustrating, especially if you've played piano or any percussion instrument.
So let me ask you, I mean, some people's ears may be glazing over right now when they hear steel pan. What is a steel pan? Maybe you can explain the history and what it is to us.
Right. So a steel pan is what we now call a 55-gallon oil drum that has been either cut and hammered in. Originally, they played little biscuit tins. So kind of like what you get your popcorn in at the holidays, like that size. They would hammer it in like little boys playing with toys, and it would get dented, and then they'd be like, "Oh, I've ruined this one. I got to get another one." And some people decided, "I hadn't ruined it. I have a note on this side and I have a note on this side, so I can ping pong." They called them ping pong. Uh-huh. Ping pong, ping pong, ping. So that has, I've skipped a ton, many, many decades, but now that is a 55-gallon oil drum, and it's you know, meticulously hammered to have a fully chromatic scale and several octaves of a scale, and we can play any music. It's an interesting instrument because all your notes are on one surface, but they've hammered and isolated these little notes all around it. So when you hit a C sharp rings and an F sharp rings, and it all rings, and it adds to like the richness of the pan sound. But it's also a nightmare to tune, to keep these instruments in tune, because if your F sharp is out of tune and you hit a C, the whole instrument is not going to sound right.
And even when they're in tune, they're
still
out of tune.
There's an out of tuneness to it, yeah.
I'm thinking about other kind of equipment that's also associated with the steel pan. What kind of mallets do you primarily use?
It's so cool because steel pan is an instrument that came from, I don't want to say garbage, things people threw away. You know, like it was an oil drum that was sitting in the Navy shipyards, and they had to swim across the bay and tie them to their ankle and then swim back. So it's things that people threw away. So the mallets they use are just little dowel rods with literally surgical hose. You cut off a little segment and you stretch it over the end. So much in music is so expensive because it's so boutique. But pan is like, it was made from things that people threw away. So it's so cool. And they figured out ways to make it expensive because now it is a sought after musical instrument. But it was originally just trash. They just learned how to play. Their drums were taken away. Then their bamboo was taken away. And they're like, you know what? We're going to play on these biscuit tins until you take those away. And I'll go find another one in the garbage if I have to. It's so resilient. It's so amazing of the Trinidad and Tobago people.
The steel pan, I'm curious, Dave, why you pursued steel pan group at TSA.
I was always fascinated with the instrument. My dad was a mechanic, auto mechanic, that was fascinated with sounds. And he was an organist also. But he would bring vinyl home, and we would listen to it. And it would be all these obscure instruments, calliopes or stuff that you know, was not mainstream. And he turned me on to a vinyl album of steel pan music, and he was fascinated with how they were made. But yeah, I saw the possibility of it was unique, and it was a demanded thing. People if they had parties, they wanted that music at summer parties.
Let's talk about this concert that's happening on November 5th, which is Election Day, by the way.
In case you haven't heard. That's weird.
There's a good chance you'll need to hear something.
It features the Paganini of the steel pan, Liam Teague. I just picked that up from his website.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Everybody calls him that. I don't know if he's crazy
about it. Everybody's the Paganini of something, right?
But he literally is. I'm sorry. He is fascinating. He's an amazing musician.
Tell me a little bit more about his biography. This concert is happening on Tuesday, November 5th at 7 o'clock at the Portal at Toledo School for the Arts. Tell us about Liam Teague.
So Liam is from Tobago, the Twin Islands, Trinidad and Tobago. So he grew up hearing pan. And he grew up in like the 80s, which was like the heyday of these big panoramic steel bands, where they would play some of the biggest tunes that we know, like 4 Lara 4, Pan in A Minor, these gigantic arrangements. He grew up hearing those, and he was across the street from Jit Samaru, one of the arrangers for these steel bands. So he grew up in this culture, and then he came to the United States, and now he teaches at Northern Illinois. That's where he's a professor at. One of the few places in the United States where you can study steel pan as a primary instrument. Like you can audition on steel pan, you can take your juries on steel pan, you can graduate with a degree in steel pan. There's not a lot of that. So he's just this fabulous, I'm going to say fast, because that's a lot of the first thing people think of when they the first time you see him play, you've never seen anybody move that fast. I mean, it is literally that Franz Liszt, Paganini, you know, up and down the instrument, Olympic arpeggios and scales. But he writes amazing tunes. We've prepared an entire concert of Liam Teague compositions. They're all his tunes, and they're hard and they're unique. It's not the same tropes. It's different patterns. It's different harmonies. It's more jazz harmonies, which is always a lot of fun to hear. And it's cool to hear the kids who have played a lot of steel pan music to see them take this and, you know, like, oh my gosh, this is different. I got to learn this. You know, I got to practice. Did you guys get to that bridge? You know, and watching that electricity go through the band has been so exciting, you know, because they learn a lot of music. This band plays a ton. As you said, you've seen them around. They've played a lot of Ray Holman. They've played a lot of Chris Tanner. And those guys are great composers and arrangers. But there's something about this music, just from a compositional standpoint, that's amazing. And then next week, they're going to get to play with him improvising over the top. And his improvisation is just off the scale. Wow. There is no comparison. There is no comparison to the way that Liam Teague plays.
This concert is open to the public. I mean, yes, anybody can come see it. It's not just a TSA thing.
It's open to the public. And one of the biggest... goals is to bring more people in to know about how we teach and what we teach and why we exist. So yeah. It's supported by the Toledo Community Foundation and the U.S. Department of Energy, which we received a grant to talk about sustainable energy. You know, the steel pan was the only instrument created in the 20th century that was
acoustic,
not electronic. Right. The only acoustic instrument, the last acoustic instrument created in the 20th century. And I think that says something, you know.
Well, I think a lot of times when people think of steel pan, they think of the Little Mermaid and, you know, jumping a line. And like the music that we hear
under the sea
when we get off the boat on the cruises. But it's a fully chromatic instrument, meaning we can do Chopin harmonies. We can do there's entire arrangements of Brahms symphonies that have been done by steel pan. It's sort of still seen as a novelty, but that is not the way my kids are. Like there's a lot of music. We don't play by rote. We've done Bach chorales. We warm up with tone exercises. So
and then on more of a world level, there are those huge arrangements that organizations compete with.
The panoramic, yeah. It's like
panoramic
a drum
stuff.
Corps. It feels like drum corps or marching band competitions.
It's like you think it's the ending, and no, they're going. They just took a breath.
They're
going
10 or 12 minutes long, and they go through several different keys. And
they're
and
insane.
They're trying to one up the last band, and it's great.
It's kind of like opera for percussion.
So with an instrument that is so young in the grand scheme of music history, and I'm sure the pedagogy keeps evolving, but what are some of the common challenges that students face when they're first learning steel pan?
So if you play clarinet, you're going to rent a clarinet probably or get it from the school and you're going to take it home. That is not really feasible with a steel pan because it's a big instrument. They do take them home on a weekend. Usually I'll watch about half a dozen pans leave the building in cases. And that means they've coordinated with their parents so they can get a truck there so they can pick them up. That's one of the biggest issues, but the way my kids have got around that, they're there before and after school every day. Like right now there's a steel band rehearsing in my room and I'm not even there for it. If it was a normal day, there'd be a dozen kids working through their patterns on the pan, and it's a gateway because they realize if they practice that, then maybe they'll also do their homework so they don't get kicked out of steel band and they can do this performance. I've seen so many dots connected by them being in the room and practicing. It's like, oh, I want to play that thing that person's playing, so I have to practice a little bit more, and I want to be in the band that they're in. So I mean, we see that in marching band and concert band too, but there is that you kind of need to be in the room to do it. Like steel band is it's a communal thing. Like you can play pan by yourself, but when you're playing your double second part and somebody's playing a break drum, which is like a part of a car that we play, keeping the rhythm, it just comes together and they realize that they're greater than the sum of their parts. That is really exciting. We get that in marching band. I got a little bit of that when I was in marching band. But in steel pan, if one person's just going gang, gang, get gang, 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 get gang, 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 get gang, and then somebody else is playing a bass part under that, like it doesn't make sense by itself. But when you put it all together, it's like, oh my gosh, this is huge. So that's really exciting to watch them overcome just having an instrument and practicing.
Well, and I imagine it would be so inspirational for students to see someone like Liam Teague performing and really see the possibilities of the instrument.
Right. Yeah, that's why Tuesday is happening. That was the first
Rob's out of his mind about it.
My main motivation for doing a Tuesday night concert was the kids can see the musician perform on a concert. Wednesday night, the next night, we're doing a concert with the whole band and Liam soloing. when you're playing with a soloist, as I know, being an orchestra musician, you could have, you know, Joshua Bell at the front of the orchestra, but if you're playing your timpani part, you're not listening to Joshua Bell. You're counting rests and changing mallets. On Tuesday night, they can sit there and they can watch him and they can listen to him and they can just see the amazing facility when he plays. He's just so effortless when he plays. So he'll be there in the school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but on Tuesday night, that's really important, I thought, that they get to see him perform and they're not trying to sweat their soli sections and they're not trying to do all the things. They can just sit down and listen. And musicians, instrumentalists, are sometimes terrible audience members. We don't go to enough concerts. It's really hard for us to just sit in a concert. And, you know, they're a little cranky about it. Some of them are cranky that they have to come to a concert that they're not playing on. But, you know, it's super important. They'll probably learn more on Tuesday night than they learn on Wednesday night.
Yeah, it's been that way for many, many years.
It's weird. We're so bad at going to concerts.
Is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
I think you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at our new space. We have a 400-person black box studio. It sounds amazing
in
there.
It sounds amazing. I don't think enough people talk about
it. Really,
they did a great job of acoustically treating that space. There's not many spaces that can stage a steel band where it's not an assault, because steel band is loud. It's an outdoor instrument. And in that space, it's great. The basses are nice and thumping. And you can
and the
hear
orchestra
all the
sounds great in there.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool space. It turned out much better than I even dreamed.
Yeah, we got lucky. Lucky with the acoustics, I think. Maybe not purely luck, but it is such a cool. I love playing in there.
Well, the concert is November 5th at 7:00 p.m. at the Toledo School for the Arts in the Portal. That's the Black Box Theater you're talking about, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's happening with Liam Teague, who is a wonderful steel pan player, at least according to you gentlemen, and I believe you definitely, and we look forward to having that concert. I want to thank my guests, Dave Gerke and Rob Desmond, for telling us a little bit about the steel pan and inviting us to this concert. Thank you, gentlemen.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.